China's economy continues to weaken. Hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, September the 3rd, Labor Day. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about China's weakening economy and what the government there might do about it. Also, it's going to be a big week for the European debt crisis on Thursday. We're going to find out what the head of the European Central Bank meant when he said that he would do whatever it takes to save the euro. That and much more coming up on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Manufacturing activity fell last month in China for the first time in almost a year. Global markets are up on the news, though, because a weakening Chinese economy makes it more likely that the Chinese government will step in to help. The BBC's Martin Patience is with us from Beijing with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like just about every week we get more bad economic news out of China. Give us the big picture of how the economy is doing right now.
Well, it's slowing. I mean, that's the thing that everybody agrees on, that the economy in China is slowing. It's still growing at a phenomenal rate compared with Europe or America. But China, of course, is used to double-digit growth. Why should the world be worried about this? Well, if China's growth slows, then Chinese consumers who don't buy a huge amount of goods overseas, apart from luxury goods, well, there will be concerns that they will keep their money in their pockets, and that could have a knock-on effect elsewhere.
So the big question is the Chinese government going to step in with some stimulus?
We saw in response to the global financial crisis, the Chinese authorities unleashed a huge stimulus package. We don't think we're going to see anything in that scale this time round. Why is that? Well, one of the big problems when you pump so much money into the economy is you see inflation. And what's interesting in China is inflation is supposedly about 2.5%. But when you speak to people, many people think it's actually a lot higher than that, that the authorities aren't really revealing the true nature of things. That's why we're perhaps not seeing more money going into the economy, because the last thing the authorities want to see is very, very high inflation, particularly as they gear up for that once-in-a-decade leadership change.
The BBC's Martin Patience in Beijing. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Not a great start to what will be a big week for the European debt crisis. We learned this morning that Europe's manufacturing activity fell last month for the 13th straight month. On Thursday, the head of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, is expected to tell us what he meant when he said he'll do whatever it takes to save the euro. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us now from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So what is Draghi likely to tell us on Thursday?
Well, he's expected to give more details of the plan to buy huge quantities of Spanish and Italian government bonds, staving off any danger of default and perhaps the collapse of the euro. Christian Schulz of the German bank Berenberg says this Thursday's announcement by the ECB could be critical.
The ECB's action could be a turning point in the euro crisis. If the ECB, with its potentially unlimited pockets, does enough to preserve the euro, then the euro will survive.
This is not a done deal, though. There's a lot of disquiet in Germany over the plan, a lot of disillusionment generally there with the bailing out of weaker economies in the south. An opinion poll just out shows only a quarter of Germans think that Greece should get any more money or should stay in the eurozone.
And I hate to sound undemocratic, Stephen, but I mean, does it matter what the people of these individual countries and specifically Germany think about what should be done?
Well, it does matter ultimately, of course. They do have a say in elections. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel faces a general election next year. She won't want to flout German public opinion too much. But on the other hand, she doesn't want to pull the plug on Greece, Italy or Spain either, and risk the euro imploding. So Merkel's walking a tightrope between her public opinion and the danger of the euro collapsing.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
The drug company Pfizer is getting ready to sell shares of its animal health business Zoetis to the public. Zoetis sells medicines for pets and livestock, and it brought in $4 billion for Pfizer last year. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports on the lucrative business of treating animals.
Where's Mama?
Get
Joanne and Lance Drews and their 14-year-old Cocker Spaniel Coco are in the Manhattan waiting room of Blue Pearl Veterinary Partners, which does specialty and emergency care. Coco's got plenty of energy, so you wouldn't know unless you saw the stitches on his neck that he got a pacemaker just 3 weeks ago.
These are his pulmonic valve leaflets. You can see that they're very thick and very bright. And
Coco's cardiologist, Dr. Jessica Gentile, is in an exam room using an ultrasound to see the heart of a bulldog named Champ.
Almost anything that you can do for a person now, we can do for an animal.
At Blue Pearl and places like it, that means neurology, advanced cancer care, and more. It also means major out-of-pocket expenses for pet owners. Lance Drews says Coco's treatment cost nearly $10,000. Joanne Drews says they didn't hesitate to pay.
The money doesn't mean a thing. It's what's important that you have my beautiful dog in my life again, which I love.
Pet owners like the Drews's present new opportunities for drug companies and medical device makers, but there are limits to what some people will spend. Dr. Steve Budsberg is a veterinary medicine professor at the University of Georgia.
We deal with that on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't make people good people and bad people. It's a choice of where they're going to use their money.
That spending ceiling is part of why the more important market for drug companies is livestock. Dr. John LaCroix tracks pharmaceutical stocks for MKM Partners.
As third world countries begin to eat more protein, have better economies, that's where the real growth has been.
With more farmers feeding a growing hunger for beef, chicken, and pork, drug companies are providing new vaccines and treatments. Texas A&M veterinarian Dr. Tom Hargrove works with ranchers. He says drugs are more expensive now, but worth it, because they keep the animals healthy and growing.
We're able to produce more beef with less cows.
And more money for drug companies. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Well, now to Chicago, where Harlene Hoffman Vision was going through her late mother's possessions and found a book that had been checked out from the public library in 1934. It was a copy of The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, and it racked up $6,000 in late fees. Lucky for Harlene Hoffman Vision, the library is in the midst of an amnesty program for overdue books right now, so they happily took the novel back without asking any questions.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
There are going to be a lot of people on the highways today heading home from the Labor Day weekend festivities, and they're going to be spending a little more on gas than they did a year ago, about $3.82 per gallon on average, compared with about $3.65 last year. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, it's all relative.
Jonathan Nyquist tracks gas prices for Air Inc., a consulting company that analyzes the cost of living in different countries.
The cheapest place to buy gas by far is Venezuela. It's about 6 cents per gallon.
Venezuela subsidizes gas prices. Europe, on the other hand, imposes high taxes. A gallon runs around $8 there. Mark Perry is with the American Enterprise Institute.
In the United States, the average tax that we pay that includes federal and state taxes is around 40 cents a gallon. And in almost all European countries, it's about 10 times that amount.
In terms of the priciest gasoline, Jonathan Nyquist says,
the most expensive gas that we've noticed this past July was in Norway.
Norwegians pay around $10 per gallon. Unlike other oil-producing countries, Norway doesn't subsidize the price of gas. On the other hand, it does use oil revenue to pay for things like free college education. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Port officials up and down the East Coast are frantically negotiating with longshoremen to avoid a strike that could happen at the end of the month. A work stoppage by the people who unload container ships would force cargo to be rerouted and could cause economic pain across the country. Jim Burris reports now from station WABE in Atlanta.
One out of every 12 jobs in Georgia is linked to ports in Savannah and nearby Brunswick. Jeffrey Humphreys is a University of Georgia economist. He says the market could weather a short strike, but a long one?
Indeed, I think a prolonged port strike would have the potential to tip the U.S. economy back into recession.
A shutdown would hit ports from Maine to Florida, slowing delivery of everything from Mercedes-Benzes to mangoes.
The shelves could start looking pretty sparse at places like Walmart and Target.
Merchants are already shifting some orders. Mitch Paul heads merchandising and logistics for Aaron's, a national rent-to-own chain.
We bring the things through a Houston or a West Coast port over onto the East Coast.
The added mileage means added costs. The longshoremen and port authorities have until the end of the month to resolve their differences. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
A member of the Russian punk rock band Pussy Riot says she has no regrets about the band's anti-government performance that got her and her bandmates sent to prison for 2 years. The case has captured the attention of the nation and has not been good for the reputation of Russian courts. But as Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow, that's an issue Russian businesses have known about for a long time.
Photographers shoot pictures frantically every time Mikhail Khodorkovsky goes to court. The former head of oil company Yukos is Russia's most famous jailed businessman, but he's not the only one.
13,600 people are in jail on economical charges.
Boris Titov is Russia's first ombudsman for businesses. President Vladimir Putin appointed him in June and gave him wide powers to defend businesses. He will need them.
Every six businessmen, we counted that, in his life experienced the pressure of the Russian legal system against him. Every six businessman in Russia.
Businessman Igor Kroshkin speaking to me from prison. He says he's inside on made-up charges. Kroshkin once enjoyed every comfort. Today, he tells his story using a cell phone he had to buy from a guard. They arrested me, he says. They took the factory, moved the shares offshore to Cyprus. Kroshkin was jailed for 6 years for attempting to steal $5 million. He says the prosecutor was bribed $500,000 to pursue his case. When Khodorkovsky was arrested, he was Russia's richest man. Kroshkin was no oligarch, but he was doing well. All too often, that is the problem. A successful business attracts attention. Rivals or greedy bureaucrats can use corrupt police and judges to seize control of the business. Vladimir Putin says businessmen and women are as much to blame as officials, though that's not the view of Titov, his ombudsman, nor of Yana Yakovleva, the head of the NGO Business Solidarity. She thinks business people in Russia are too vulnerable to the whims of officials, and she doesn't see that changing anytime soon.
I don't think anything will change with the judicial system in the near future, because I see no signs that the president is getting ready to change this system.
As with almost everything in Russia, it all comes down to Putin. Unless the real pessimists are right. They say the situation has gotten so bad, even Putin can't fix it. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, be careful what you tweet. Pop star Rihanna was in London the other day and tweeted to her 25 million followers that she was about to take a train to Paris. Well, by the time she arrived in Paris, she was mobbed by fans who had seen that tweet. So she took to Twitter again to complain about the situation. A French security official said the whole event was absolute chaos and was all Rihanna's fault.
That was quite a show.
In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Grab your clothes and get gone. You better hurry up before the sprinklers come on. Talking about girl, I love you, you're the one. This just looks like a refund.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.